Elizabeth Joyce of Let's Find Out. And tonight is a very special night. I have a wonderful guest, and we are here to help you, everyone listening. Have you ever wanted to write a book? Have you written one? Are you halfway through one? I have, as my guest, Gail Farmer, who is the owner of Omega Publications as well as an author herself. And we are going to help you together learn how to write and present your book for the publisher. I have been a book agent for years, and I have sold many, many books to several publishers. So we're going to put our heads together tonight and see what we can come up with. Good evening, Gail.
Hi, how are you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm doing very well. It's wonderful for you to be on our show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy it.
I really want you to begin by talking about writing and what writing means to you and how you began writing your books.
Well, I was a horse trainer for years, and I actually started with the kids series because we were having a terribly wet winter and we couldn't ride and we couldn't do anything, and I started with a journal, and it actually came from there, believe it or not.
And what state were you in at that time?
Oh, California. Was
because
just...
people don't know that you and I went to high school together. So
oh, that's
we're both
true.
Brought up in Bergen County, New Jersey. So you got yourself out to California. And about what year was this, Gail?
Well, this that I'm talking about right now was 2000.
Okay, so it's been recent for you.
Yes, yes. It's been recent. I've always loved to write, always loved to read. I think they go hand in hand. I would imagine you agree. And so when I had this terrible winter in front of me that never seemed to end, I just started to write, and the next thing you knew, here was this book, which had many transformations before it finally became.
And you know what I want to say? As we're teaching and learning tonight, there isn't a book I know of that hasn't had a million transformations. Well, just about, at least a couple of hundred.
At least. Oh, yes. And that's what makes them good, though. You know,
I think so.
Working through and getting everything just perfect.
So you got it into a book form, and then what did you do?
Well, then I started sending it out hither and yon, and I thought to myself, well, you know, if I were, you know, 25, I guess I could hang in there and wait. But I was beginning to realize after all this time that time was just going by. And so I thought, well, I have a lot of experience in this. Let me just see if we can't publish this ourselves.
So well, of course, the other thing is that the publishing industry was changing in 2000, and it has been mm-hmm. changing ever since. I think it began around probably 95 or 96 when people did begin to self-publish. And
yes.
Although the publishers from New York snubbed everybody, it really has turned around, and it's beginning to show the publisher in New York a thing or two, don't you think?
I do indeed. In fact, I see a lot of that now, you know, after 10 years in the business and seeing so much change. The POD used to be, and it deserved to be, hit with the title of Vanity Press. Not anymore, at least not all of them, as I'm sure you can attest.
Well, there are some of them that we want to call Vanity Press. Some of them
yes.
are not that good, and they
yes.
don't represent the public in a fair way. But
exactly.
when you do represent the, and we know a couple of them, right?
Do we? Yes.
When we do represent the public in a fair way, then I think it can be magnificent, because if you've got a good book, it doesn't matter whether it's self-published or not. Do you know James Redfield?
No, I have to admit.
He wrote the book, The Celestine Prophecy. He wrote it in 1997 or 98, and he self-published it. And by hand of mouth and by word of mouth, that book sold over a million copies.
Oh, my, yes.
So there you go.
Well, exactly. And I think that as the companies begin to demand more of their authors and demand to do an edit and not just publish everything that anybody wants to write, the quality begins to come up. And now even things like Writer's Digest are actually holding contests for books that are POD published.
Well, that's good. When Publishers Weekly does it, then maybe I'll enter.
Yes, well, that's probably next on the line. You know, I really see a lot of quality and a lot of people who are wanting to be good as opposed to just wanting to get it out.
Now, you and I know that there are some people that have self-published that are not good, that really need a lot of guidance. And I know that I brought you one of them this year who had trouble with her original publisher and now is in court. There's a lot of people that don't know about formatting, about industry standards, potential editions and agents, and treatment of books once they're written. And so what did you do for that?
Okay, we basically, in our guidelines for submission, we tell the author how we want it submitted to, you know, the double space and all of that, and then we format it. That way we know it's exactly the way we want it to be, including the drop caps and a variety of other different kinds of centering and things.
The windows and the orphans. That's great that you do that, Gail, and I know that you give every book its attention. However, you have something that's as big as iUniverse, and they do not do that. They publish it exactly the way that you send it. And most people who are writing a book never pick up another book to look at it. They don't look at it. They don't look through the pages, and they don't see how a book that's published by a regular publisher is done, and they don't understand about the double spacing and all of the Chicago-style rules. And I think it's important that we help people understand about the industry and what the editing process is.
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you the number of books that we've received that have been previously published. One that was just, the editing was virtually non-existent, and yet here was this book already out. And it just makes you shudder, you know, because this was a writer who spent a lot of time. This was not someone who just slammed something together and, you know, you get what you get kind of thing. This was someone who really worked, and it's heartbreaking. And yet these PODs that are not reputable, they just take your money and run.
I call it a sloppy manuscript. A sloppy manuscript is hard to read, and it makes your head ache. And if you're going to make your editor agent unhappy with your copy, then they're going to make you unhappy by sending your submission back post-haste if you are sending it out to a publisher. And, Gail, I'm sure there's some that you return that you don't accept.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's probably unheard of with PODs, but we have certain standards. And when an author says to me that their book is ready to go and I don't even need to look at the editing, I mean, the bells just go off. It's like the 4th of July, and I know better, because Stephen King, in his book on writing, says even he, who's got a good many books out there that have hit the tops, had movies, the whole thing, and he still needs an editor.
You do, and I think that the people that don't are arrogant, and I don't know what they're afraid of. First of all, they think their story is top, and second of all, they don't understand the editing process. And I do think that arrogance comes from fear. So tonight, I want people to discover what the editing process is. Now, when you and I did both my books, Ascension and Psychic Attack, I bet we edited 6 to 8 times for each book.
Oh, I bet we did. But we, you know, that's both of us are determined that it's the best it's going to be.
So how can we tell somebody that's never written a book before what the editing process is?
They need a good editor to work with them. That is paramount.
Would somebody be afraid to do that?
Pride, you mentioned. A lot of times people are just afraid to fail. They don't have the confidence to really go forward. And so it's a little bit of this, and then those are your babies, you know. And to have anyone attacking your baby is just something everybody takes very personally.
In a sense, I think that people aren't used to discipline anymore. We've really lost the discipline society where we did things by the book and this and that. But I also think that people don't want others to change what they've done, and they don't understand that when you change something, you make it better.
Yes, yes. I think that is definitely a pride issue. Sometimes people just absolutely refuse to accept that something they've done is either inaccurate or poorly worded or redundant or any of a number of reasons why the editor would say, oh dear, we need to change this or that paragraph because it's, you just said that three paragraphs earlier.
And then I've also, with your help, we've changed paragraphs from one chapter to another.
Yes.
Let's take this and put it here. It makes more sense here. That paragraph is kind of out of context. And these are people, there's a lot of people that don't have good English skills, but they want to write a book. And mm-hmm. then they don't have good discipline skills, and they say, well, it has to be my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. And there's two types of editing, Gail. See if you agree. One type of editing is where you sit down and you work with your editor on the phone. The other type of editing is where you send it and they do all the editing.
Yes. You and I prefer the phone method.
Yeah.
I believe, especially when we're talking about things as detailed as your books are, sometimes, especially with nonfiction or new
and
age
all the
books,
research that has to be done.
Yes, all those things, I have to make sure I can talk with you right now. Can't let something slide or miss that I might misunderstand that slid through. It's not so necessary with fiction, where you're making something up out of whole cloth. And so it's a different kind of thing. But I really prefer to work on the phone. I think it gives the author a sense of being heard and
being connected. But also, it you both grow. You
yes.
grow when I give you something you didn't know, and I grow when you give me something that you didn't know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But have you found that there are people that start to correct you and start to get angry with you when you're doing the editing?
I did only one, actually, so far that really got testy. And I think it was, excuse me, boys, but I think it was kind of a guy thing, you know.
Oh, I don't know about that. But anyway, how did you handle it?
Well, I just said to him, finally, I said, now look, you know, you're paying me good money for my opinion here. I wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't the truth. You know, if we're going to, you know, have to discuss every jot and tittle of everything I say, we're never going to get this done. And immediately, I guess he felt more comfortable with that. And we went on from there, and it was really fine. But sometimes you can get off to kind of a rocky start, you know. I have three editors beside myself that work with me, and I try because I'm the first one that sees the manuscript when it comes in, so I'm the one that decides which of the editors get it, and they each have their strong points that are just absolutely awesome. And then when they're done with their part, it comes back to me again, and then I'm
sure.
the one that talks with the author.
Well, you know, I think that every author that's writing a book or in the middle of a book or has one to present for the first time must have a copy of the University of Chicago Manual of Style.
Yes.
It is basic mm-hmm. test. It's used by nearly the entire publishing industry to edit manuscripts. Every writer mm-hmm. should own a copy as a basic tool of the trade.
Absolutely.
It can be I know they're expensive. I know they may be $50 by now, but
yeah.
it's available as a trade paperback, and earlier editions are easily found and used. You can get them in the library. But when you buy the Chicago Book of Style now, you even get a CD for the computer so that if you have that on as you're writing,
yeah.
it will come in and tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are just, yes, it is fascinating. I mean, would you have ever believed this when we graduated high school?
No.
No, me neither. But it is, it's fascinating. And this is part I would love to add. We had talked briefly about the difference between the traditional houses, the random houses and whatnot, and the PODs. And the reason I believe why so many of the POD books are being accepted and recognized is this wonderful computer and all these programs. that really can help someone put out a pretty credible book. Now, you still need the editor to come up with finer grammar points, but at least you can get your spelling correct. Can you imagine what it must have been like to read Gone with the Wind? It was handwritten.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, speaking of the computers, I have to also say that not only is it a growth tool, but there are so many people that you and I know that couldn't write if they wanted to have so much knowledge. They have so much to say, and they really should write a book about their life work. So with both ghostwriting and editing, I think that we're coming a long way, and I think we need to really work on that. And that's when you discover a talent.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. So many people have just had incredibly fun lives. I mean, it isn't that they're necessarily earth-shattering or going to give you the answer to whatever. Sometimes they've just had a really cool life. And those lives get transferred onto e-books. They're cheap to buy. They cost nothing to produce virtually. And we are learning so much about people. It's quite profound. I mean, it really is.
Well, we're going to talk more about how to focus and really start the editing process and how to pick an author or publisher right after this commercial break.
Okay.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free holistic publications, with 150,000 copies printed bimonthly in three regional print editions: New England, New York, and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania and Delaware. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to the philosophies, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information to the community. Elizabeth Joyce writes the astrology column for Wisdom Magazine. Visit us at wisdommagazine.com to view our web edition. The Bucks County Metaphysical Association, better known as the BCMA, is a nonprofit association focused on teaching love, self-care, and self-responsibility by combining and sharing our talents with others. The BCMA does this by providing classes, events, and monthly metaphysical lectures to keep people informed about issues that affect your health and welfare of the community. We are in our fourth year of community service and are known as the Metaphysical Education Center of Bucks County. Please join us for our upcoming classes, intensives, and events. Not only will it be informative, fun, networking, and community sharing, but you will also be supporting some wonderful community charity. When you give service to others, you open the heart and grow spiritually. We look forward to seeing many of you on the third Wednesday night of each month between September and June at 7 p.m. at the Circle of Miracles Church, 10 Beulah Road, New Britain Township, Pennsylvania. For a list of our charities, as well as our calendar of events, go to www.thebcma.net.
Elizabeth Joyce was born with the gift of knowledge and the gift of healing, and she has studied with some of the world's best teachers to perfect her gifts. Elizabeth believes that knowledge is the key to the soul, and she's created a teaching and informative website. The website, new-visions.com, has more than 1 million visitors since 2005, and Visions of Reality can help you guide your future by working within. Elizabeth teaches developing intuitive awareness classes, and she writes informative articles and books, as well as personal one-on-one counseling with her psychic awareness. For more than 30 years, she has worked with clients worldwide to help them reach their highest potential. She removes blocks, talks with the other side, performs regressions, and clears haunted spaces. She'll guide your finances, love life, relationships, and family life, empowering you to move forward and create a life of balance and pleasure. So visit new-visions.com for more information.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. On my next show, Sunday night, May 1st, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, my guest will be the medium and spiritual healer, Richard Scholler. People often wonder, how do you realize that you have the ability of mediumship? Well, the realization came to Richard after leaving a meditation class that he had joined with some friends as a way to relieve some stress that he was under while he was a funeral director. That particular class was pretty uneventful, but as he was driving home, his heart started beating faster and faster. As he walked through the door of his apartment, he decided to pick up the phone and call his partner, John. He was very nervous, and he felt that he needed to talk to someone who would listen to him without laughing. Richard started to tell John that he thought he was having a heart attack. John said he'd be right over. Richard assured him that he didn't think it was necessary to come running over, and that he was sure that he would be all right, but he needed to talk. So they talked a few minutes. While sitting on his bed talking about the meditation class and his ride home, he noticed that something was going on in his bedroom. It looked like the air had black and white pins and needles running through it. The best way to describe the atmosphere in the room was electric. All of a sudden, both sets of his deceased grandparents showed up in the bedroom. He felt as if he had lost his mind. About 16 seconds later, he said to John on the phone, "I've got to go. I have company." He hung up the phone and hit the floor crying. That was Richard's first awareness that he had been given a gift of being able to talk to the other side. Richard will be my guest Sunday night, May 1st, at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern on Let's Find Out. You will be able to call in questions. You will be able to hear about a fantastic adventure of understanding that death is not the end of our lives. Looking forward to sharing with you Sunday, May 1st, with Richard Scholler. Give a listen and let's find out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Elizabeth Joyce and her guests come to you every other Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a podcast of the show will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link on the Let's Find Out page at bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
A. You're adorable.
B.
You're so beautiful.
C.
You're a cutie full of charms.
D.
You're a darling. And
E.
You're exciting.
F.
You're a feather in my arm.
G.
You look good to me.
H.
You're so heavenly.
I.
You're the one I idolize.
J.
We're like Jack and Jill.
K.
You're so kissable.
L.
Is the love light in your eyes. M. N. O. P.
You could go on all day.
That's my Perry. I'm sure you remember that one, Gail.
I do indeed.
Well, he knew what to do with the alphabet.
I know, he did. I remember that show on TV. I haven't thought about that in a long time, my friend.
It's perfect
good.
Tonight. Should an established writer, one who's been published before, be a member of a writer's group?
Boy, I sure think so. Writing is a continuous growing process. I don't think anyone reaches a point where they say, "That's it, I've learned it all, no one can help me." And as language grows and changes too, unqualified yes, I think.
I agree with you. And I also think that when you are in a writer's group, that's a very good critique group, and you mm-hmm. get used to them without being afraid and insulted, mm-hmm. that they can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I belong to an international group like that. It's an internet site, and oh my goodness! I mean,
do you have the website, Gail?
Yes, it's Fan Story, actually, and it is my idea of perfect learning tool. It's reasonably priced. Whether you are into prose, whether you want to perfect your poetry, It doesn't matter what kind of writing. You are going to find people there who want to learn, who want to help you learn. And it's a real working progress. It's wonderful.
And that's another thing we should say. Writing encompasses a lot. There's people that write novellas. There's people that write fiction. There's people that write nonfiction. Then there's people that write sports. And then there's people that write only biographies. And I'm sure there's a lot more children's books, teenage books, books on law.
Yes. Oh, we just published a wonderful cookbook. Oh, it was the Sicilian cookbook. I have gained 5 personal pounds.
Oh, my goodness. And was this a coffee table book?
Yes.
That's another type of a book. A coffee table book is a different book from all of the others.
Yes. I had hoped, actually, that he had chosen a little bit bigger, but you know how that gets price-wise. And he was also concerned that it needed to be able to be propped up in the kitchen on one of those books.
Oh, so it's going to be kind of like a cookbook type thing.
Yes,
so it doesn't have to be a large coffee table book.
No, that's what I was hoping for, but he decided on this, and I have it in my hand, and it's just darling. Not only are the recipes awesome, but, oh, he talks about his dad and his mentors. And,
Wonderful. Tell us the title of the book, Gail.
Okay, it's called Tastes and Tales of Sicilian Cookery. A Back to Queen's cookbook.
I love it.
You would love it. I'll send it to you for Christmas.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Let me tell you something. I think that those types of books are so valuable, and I love the books that get worn. I know that you say don't bend the cover back, you know, don't put a paper clip in it, because if you have a first edition, you don't want to damage it. But I think some fun books are the ones that are worn out. I remember some of my worn-out books. One of them was Br'er Rabbit and Grandfather Frog and the Merry Little Breezes. That was from the Mother West Wind series. And I just read them and read them and read them.
Yes, until you read all the words off the page. That's what I used to be afraid of.
That you could almost recite it by heart.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Isn't it funny that love of reading is almost seems to be like the color of your hair or your eyes, you know?
Well, you know, the love of cooking, to me, is one of the greatest things that we can give. And you know that this is about metaphysics and love. The Miami show, Let's Find Out, basically is. Mm-hmm. And the love of cooking, to cook somebody a meal, to me, is a great act of love.
Yes.
Don't you agree?
Very nurturing. Yes, indeed.
Very nurturing. Totally. And I've always said, never have a meal with somebody that you don't care for, because you'll have an upset stomach.
Yes. This is very true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Giving I think each of us have a way that we kind of like to do it. But me, I love to cook.
You got to put that up on Facebook. It'll sell like hotcakes.
I will, actually.
It's Back to Queens.
Yes. Oh, it's just, he talks about being a kid in Long Island. All right.
Sure.
Okay.
And you and I know how to say Long Island.
Yes, we can say it with him. Isn't that the truth? But it just is so heartwarming. And so much of it is this how to be, I don't know, we don't see a whole lot of it. I don't want to get preachy, but life seems to have changed a good bit from the way kids used to treat the adults and the adults the kids.
That's
and,
true.
You know, it didn't seem to be as though everybody, they don't care like they used to, or at least it doesn't.
Do you remember our Sunday dinners? You know, you'd come over to my house, but you'd have to be gone by 1 o'clock because we had to sit down for Sunday dinner.
Oh, yes.
Always had that, and we had dinner every night with our parents, and that's gone now.
Every night. Oh, I know. We would sit down, and my parents were very political, which I still am to this day. And my goodness, you remember when Jack Kennedy was running for president?
Oh, sure, of course.
That was always great fun to have a dinner conversation when you had parents on the other side of the political spectrum.
Do you think that bad writing can be fixed, Gail? What do you do with a person that really doesn't have the talent and maybe doesn't have the emotional or the cushion of thought and verse? What do you do with a person that has a problem with that?
I don't believe there's much you can do for that, honestly. I'm honest and straightforward. I don't want to take someone's money or make them, you know, give them false hopes. I mean, that is just not my way of doing things. Now, if you have a book that's written by someone who just, you know, their grammar needs a lot of help, but the story is great.
Well, I had that experience when I helped somebody write a book this year.
Yeah.
The grammar was very poor, very slang, but we got the story done. We got it done. It took a lot of work, and then I had her take it to the publisher.
See,
we spent 6 months on it first. That's another thing that you need to talk about. When you're done writing your book and you contact your editor, there's another 3 to 6 months before that book gets out to the public.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed it is. If I, as I'm the managing editor, and so I have to disperse the book, and if I go through the first three, which is what I usually do, the first three chapters, and mm-hmm. it looks clean and it looks good, I'll send it over to Norma or to Joel, whoever, and I'll say, okay, just roll through this. This doesn't need that word by word, line by line kind of
edit.
Right,
it needs the grammar.
That's right. This is just, let's make sure we've got all the punctuation in there. You can do that when you're typing very fast and you can miss a period or a close of a quote. Now, those kinds of things we clean up with no problem. But when a book is really just not there, I'm up front about it. I don't want to tell anybody that something is going to be a good seller and have them be so disappointed. So
now, have you ever had somebody call you and say, Gail, I've written a book, I'm not a writer, but I wrote a history of my family, and I just want 25 of them to give to my family. Have you ever had that happen?
Well, we have had that happen with poetry. It's not the same subject, but it's the same basic idea. And those books are so expensive for the author because, you know, you go through all the cost of publishing, but then you're not going to sell any. So,
right. And, of course, the cost of publishing, I'm going to say, is minimum $700.
Oh, my.
That's low, right?
Yeah. Our basic package is $10.50. And that gives you not only the edit, the cover that Jeff does, the formatting, the whole thing. We take it from the bare manuscript and we get it out the door for you. And that is considerably cheaper than most.
Right, so other the larger companies, and we've named one, they charge for every graphic, they charge every cover, mm-hmm. Then they want to sell you to the Library of Congress when they don't even tell the people that the Library of Congress doesn't buy paperback books.
Doesn't buy paperbacks. Doesn't that break your heart? When
it
I
breaks
read
my
that,
heart to see people take $700 when they know that.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. And that poor author there, you know, who's just been scammed royally. Yeah, people who are interested in going into POD publishing need to do due diligence and check out the different companies and what they stand for. Go to their sites and listen to what the authors that they have to say. And then, you know, buy at least one book. That's the only way you're going to have an idea of how something's going to look. Do you agree with that?
I do.
I think that, you know, even if it isn't a subject matter that you are particularly interested in, buy that book, take a look at the cover, see how the pages are set up. Have they got a nice wide gutter so that, as you said, breaking the spine isn't necessary, you can still read the book?
Right. The Chicago Book of Style says you have to have 1-inch margins. They want mm-hmm. you to use times 12 and only times 12, mm-hmm. and they want you to double space. And when you follow that, you're pretty much on the mark.
Right, absolutely. But then again, you know, I must say, in not so much to disagree with Chicago, but there have been several new types that have come out that have been told to most of us that we can use them. Garamond, I believe, is one. So we're spreading out a little bit.
I do want to mention two of those books, primary sources. One is Writing to Sell by Scott Meredith, Harper and Row of 1974, and also The Manuscript Submission by Scott Edelson, that's Writer's Digest of 1989. They're helpful. So they branch off a little bit. And they say that you can use the other type, but if you're going to stay standard, it's Times 12 and 1-inch cutters. And that's not Times New Roman either. People will write in Times New Roman, and they don't realize that it's not Times 12.
Yes, this is true. This is true. Yeah, I think with the advent of the computer and the ability to do so much formatting, all on the author is able to do all this, as opposed to the old brothers, remember, when we'd do our best to get everything centered in there so the lines would be close. It's just changed everybody's perspective. That's one of the reasons why the traditional houses are publishing fewer and fewer books, because so many good POD books are coming out.
Oh, that's true. And they're not getting the money that they used to for them. I do want you to give me the website for both of your websites. You have two websites. One is for Omega Publications. That's your publisher.
Right.
And the other one is your own.
The other one is my own, yes. And it's just a very informal sort of almost a Facebook. I think it was there before there was Facebook. That one is www.gailfarmer.com.
Oh, that's simple.
Pardon?
That's simple.
Yes, yes, I'd keep them simple. The other one is almost as simple, and that's www.omegapublications.net.
Now, we're going to learn more about authors and what else to do with what an agent is and how they interface with the publisher and the author right after this commercial break.
Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with antidotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. Let's Find Out is looking for winter and spring of 2011 guests for our show on bbsradio.com. This is a special opportunity for you. Do you have a life-changing product or service such as coaching, books, holistic products, workshops, animal psychics, or anything at all that you would like to advertise? Here's your opportunity to prominently present yourself before a worldwide loyal audience of Let's Find Out. A fee is required to be included in this exciting promotional lineup, and the proceeds enable you to be advertised all week on Let's Find Out and Facebook, and to receive your show archive for you to put on your website. Let's Find Out is a life-changing show and home to many groups throughout the world with several worldwide affiliates. We discuss holistic health modalities, energy healing, psychic sensitivity, the paranormal, past lives, keeping healthy naturally, and other metaphysical subjects. We have a great listening audience, and we utilize a 3,000-plus email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself and your business. We send out an email to our extensive fan base promoting your appearance on Let's Find Out. BBS will provide an archive within 24 hours after your show airs, free for you to download and share. As a guest, you will be able to advertise your appearance on your website blog, as well as to email and invite all your contacts. Let's Find Out will keep an archive of the pod show along with your website link. Let's Find Out will forward any and all email from their listeners to you after the show regarding your airtime so that you can add this to your email and contact list. Let's Find Out thank you for taking the time to being a guest on our show. To query us, please send us an email to elizabeth.joyce.radio@gmail.com, and we will be happy to contact you. Thank you. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell, and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone Radio Show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone Radio and TV Show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth 4 additional chakras as soon as possible: the 8th, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These 4 new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the 4 spiritual chakras will transform the other 7, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the 4 spiritual chakras and the 7 regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the 0 chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are 4 more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the Earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-visions.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Shulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Elizabeth Joyce and her guests come to you every other Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a podcast of the show will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link on the Let's Find Out page at bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce of Let's Find Out. Now it's time for the Metaphysical Corner. There will be a different focus tonight. We're focusing on our guest's new book, Blind Trust by Gail Farmer. Gail Farmer, owner of Omega Publications, has written now 5 of these wonderful mysteries. She involves Jim Sessions, the detective, and Lenny Browning, the research expert, come together to solve mysteries that happen in their area. The book that we're reviewing tonight is Blind Trust. Through a variety of unlikely events, Kathy Abbott becomes the dangerous obsession of a very disturbed and troubled man. Nathan Stanley leads a precarious life, constantly balancing reality with fantasy. He admires the courage and determination of the blind sculptress, attending her showings and buying various pieces of her work over the years. Painfully shy and retiring, he can only admire her from afar, until one night, while enjoying a solitary dinner on his rooftop, he glances across to the next building and watches a woman dancing in the moonlight. When he recognizes Kathy Abbott's face, his feelings from her morph from inhibited admiration to ardent love in one extraordinary move. Thus begins an overwhelming obsession coupled with dangerous desires that threaten to cause harm to everyone. This is one of a Session and Browning mystery series that Gail Farmer has penned. These books are fun, they're quick, and they're great for the summer. Why don't you consider getting all 5 of them and reading one a week on the beach? Blind Trust by Gail Farmer. It's a fun read. Pick up the book, as well as Cold Fusion, Firestorm, Lethal Intent, and Secret Lie. Get your copy now at Amazon.com or OmegaPublications.com. Enjoy the fun and inner excitement that these books will create for you. Blind Trust by Gail Farmer.
I can turn this heartbreak into peace as I change the way I feel, and I know in a real release, I am being healed. I can see the heartache in your family. They haven't changed the way they feel. Will they ever know the presence in a real release? Will you ever be revealed? No.
That's Elaine Silver, and she's talking about being in the flow of the new energies of love, peace, and harmony, while Gail Farmer and I are talking about being the writing and editing energies of being in the flow of writing your next novel or bestseller. There are some questions that one should ask when they are writing a book, and I think the writer agent might be responsible for asking these questions, Gail. I'm going to put a few of them out, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Is the opening sentence paragraph compelling enough to send the reader further into the manuscript? Are the characters not only believable, but do they stand out as individuals, not mere ciphers, or, God forbid, stereotypes? Does the dialogue sound as though real people are speaking and not characters reciting speeches? Has the author spared us from the repetition, redundancy, and unnecessary explanations or descriptions by using the fewest words possible to achieve the greatest impact? What do you think about those things?
Those are all the most important things. When an agent gets a book, now you have to understand, agents basically only work with the traditional houses like Random House and whatnot. Mm-hmm. In the POD, we don't use them. But
right.
Nonetheless, they serve a very, very important function. They tell the writer basically whether or not he's got a saleable book.
That's correct. And they have to know. They have to be literary enough to know.
Oh, yes. And they have to know their genre. That's why certain houses only take, for instance, mysteries and thrillers and crime and whatnot. They don't want to deal with children's books or pop-ups or cookbooks or any of those. And then others are all romance.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of specializing anymore.
And mysteries.
And
children's books. You know, there's a book, a wonderful tool for all writers, and it's called Writing and Publishing by Jeff Herman. Do you know Jeff Herman's book? And he breaks everything down. He breaks down the publishers, he breaks down the agents, and then he breaks down all the groups. You know what else? There's also college books. People write technical books through colleges or teaching books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are a variety of ways that an author can continue to educate themselves, especially in a particular genre, if that's what they are looking for. It never ends. Living, breathing. It's like an animal, and it just continues to evolve. The commas are no longer in favor. You know, we don't like the exclamation points anymore.
True. Or the parentheses.
Yes, or the parentheses, yes, indeed. And these are all just things that I love Taylor Caldwell. She's one of my favorite authors, but oh my goodness. If I read her today after 20 years of, oh dear.
Mm-hmm. It's tenuous, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I have eight things on my checklist. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
I have a compelling beginning, a believable character, realistic dialogue, command of the language, fresh insights, show and tell, show what the problem is and then tell how you're going to solve it, point of view, and formatting.
Mm-hmm. Those are the keys. Those are the ones. POV is so important. That's what you call head hopping when you have each person thinking something and there's no way that the reader can possibly imagine that they're reading everybody's minds. It just does not. It's just very amateurish until you learn how to really do it well, and then it is absolute classic. But it's a lot of work. It's the same thing with loss of threads. I mean, people will be going along, and all of a sudden there'll be a character that just slips out of a book, and about chapter 19, you never hear about them again. You know? And so many things, that's where your editor comes in.
Right.
The agent, by the time the agent gets the book, they're expecting that it's clean and ready to sell. They know that.
Well, that might be true, but some agents, and of course, you know, I was an agent for 8 years. I didn't find that to be true. I had to send the writer to get it edited, and then we would send it to the publisher. And some people view editors as a nuisance. and they feel that they're insensitive to their wishes, and they're headstrong, and they disdain industry standards advice, and they will point to manuscripts that have sold despite their poor conditions.
Yes.
They're the actors who want to get the role with only the headshot and not looking at the inside.
Yes, without doing the work. You know, there are always one or two things that always make the exception to the rule, aren't there? But that's not the way most of life is. Most of life is tracking down that road just like everybody else does. You get a good story. You perfect it to the best of your ability. You go ahead and have that book professionally edited, and then you get it to the best agent you can find if you're going traditional, you know,
right.
publication.
And, of course, the one thing that the writer has to remember is that once you put that last period on your first manuscript, your first master copy, there's probably going to be about 8 other master copies to follow. And that's not what they want to hear. They want to pay their money and have it done.
Everybody wants
that?
instant gratification.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
I always tell them that I'm not a McDonald's company.
No, indeed. Indeed. And that's, you know, Elizabeth, truly, that is the truth, because so many people don't come to writing until much later in their life. And it's not so much the 25-year-olds that are writing, but the 60-year-olds. And they're saying, you know, I have a lifetime of wonderful things to offer and funny stories and all these kinds of things, but I can't take the time to find a traditional publisher.
Oh, that's true. It takes a long time. It can take 2 years.
Years.
But how does a publisher pick an author to publish? How do they pick one? And usually they don't want a first published author. Not anymore.
Well, yeah, debut authors, unless your daddy is Stephen King or something like that, they don't want to waste the time, because there are just so many readers going around, you know.
Well, that's not fair, though.
I know it surely isn't fair. And it isn't, you know, who it isn't fair to is not just the authors. It isn't fair to all those people that aren't going to read those great stories.
I have one story to tell you. There was a friend of mine named Laura. She lives in Brooklyn, and she was an agent when I was an agent. And this high school soccer mom came to her and said, my daughter is going through her high school years, and I'm writing a book, and it's for young adults, and I would like you to look at it because I think it has possibilities, and I'm writing it based on some of the experiences she's gone through, like the junior prom and the senior prom and that type of thing. She said, it just got me into this story. And it was around the time that Diana had died, too.
Oh.
Guess what the name of the book was?
Oh, my what?
The Princess Diaries.
Oh, my goodness.
And she gave it to Laura, and Laura sent it to Disney, and look at where we are.
And there we are today.
And there we are, and she was a first writer from Brooklyn who had a kid in high school and was writing a book.
Well, that's like J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief, you know. So, yes, you know, sometimes those things do happen. They just do. Sometimes you can sit in shrafts, and you can get discovered, huh? But most of the time, no.
I don't even think they have a shraft anymore. We really need to say Starbucks or something.
Starbucks or something, Baskin Robbins. Yes, but well, the New York City reference. What can I do? But yeah, it's a very dynamic business. I mean, as people begin, and now the new things that we don't, you asked me earlier, what do we not do? And so far, we've never done graphics. You know, with like sophisticated comic books.
Yeah, and your books are mostly black and white, so
I
don't know how you did a coffee table book. Was that in color? That had to be expensive.
Well, cookbook, and that was all part of what the problem was. He gave us, you would not believe what Jeff was able to do with these Polaroid.
Well, he can do anything.
I think so. Polaroid pictures, circa 1958 to 1965, and Jeff actually got them into the book so that you could make sense.
Well, they were black and white, though, right?
Yes. But Polaroids, you know, I mean, they were like, you know, chalk drawings. And Jeff just
That's
was
true.
Able. Yeah. But we had to turn down, just broke my heart, had to turn down a darling little children's book where each, you know, it was only, oh, say, 30 pages max from the beginning to the end. But all these beautiful illustrations, well, we just, you know, that is not our thing.
No. That's not what you do, Gail.
No. No. And you know, it's better to do what you do to the very best than to be a jack of all trades. At least.
Well, you have to turn some of them down because there's so many. There really are.
Oh, yeah.
I know. So how many friends do you have that do this? They come up to you and go, I'm going to write a book. And will you look at it? Will you be my agent? And I'd say, well, why don't you write it first? Don't talk about it. Start to write. And people look at me like I'm ruining their dream. I believe, as Deepak Chopra teaches, you sit down, you write 2 hours a day, sit down and write 2 hours a day, and then go back and look at it and see how you're doing in about a month. You'll have something by then.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, I mean, between my editing and my own writing, I sit at my computer from 5:30 in the morning until about 8 o'clock every night. But I love it. It's not work. It is truly all joy. I really do. I love it. But you know, it just is a consuming. A very
the time goes by so fast. It's faster than computer games, I tell you.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. And what a demanding little gal this writing bug is once you get started.
Well, you know, I write articles every week. I write astrology articles, and then I write a couple a month. And on Mondays, that's when I have my deadline. And that day goes so fast. It's just incredible. Right. And I know it's going to go fast.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I love what I do. I think that's a real blessing because I can't imagine being, you know, as you get older and having nothing to do and just sitting around. But this, to bring other people's books to light, and, oh, it's great. We're having a contest, I think.
I want you to give your website again, and then we'll talk about the contest. What is your website for the publisher house?
All right, for the publishing, it's www.omegapublications.net.
And the contest?
And it's a fiction. It's our second annual novel contest. Our very first one was last year. We had wonderful entries. We published, just finished that book.
So this is for somebody writing the first book that's a novel, correct?
Right. This is your manuscript that's never been published.
Never been published. Okay.
And it the winner gets published, and we do e-books, and we get you on Amazon, all the good stuff.
And no charge.
And no.
That's and fabulous. Then,
yes, and well, there's the entry fee, of course, but
yeah,
other than that, you know, $30.
Expenses.
it's minimal. But it gives the people, our first author is Carl Malgram. And he's a professor down in the University of New Orleans. And he wrote a book called Paris Metro. And it is just great fun. It's like, imagine if you were there walking around and living in Paris in 1925 with Hemingway and Fitzgerald. And
oh, Richard, boy.
You know, and it's just the neatest book. And we've already started to get entries in, so we're hoping to do a really great
I'm sure it will be fabulous. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, what we're going to do is tell you what a publisher does and what the author does to get the book back out into the public right after this break.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. On my next show, Sunday night, May 1st, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, my guest will be the medium and spiritual healer, Richard Scholler. People often wonder, how do you realize that you have the ability of mediumship? Well, the realization came to Richard after leaving a meditation class that he had joined with some friends as a way to relieve some stress that he was under while he was a funeral director. That particular class was pretty uneventful, but as he was driving home, his heart started beating faster and faster. As he walked through the door of his apartment, he decided to pick up the phone and call his partner, John. He was very nervous, and he felt that he needed to talk to someone who would listen to him without laughing. Richard started to tell John that he thought he was having a heart attack. John said he'd be right over. Richard assured him that he didn't think it was necessary to come running over, and that he was sure that he would be all right, but he needed to talk. So they talked a few minutes. While sitting on his bed talking about the meditation class and his ride home, he noticed that something was going on in his bedroom. It looked like the air had black and white pins and needles running through it. The best way to describe the atmosphere in the room was electric. All of a sudden, both sets of his deceased grandparents showed up in the bedroom. He felt as if he had lost his mind. About 16 seconds later, he said to John on the phone, "I've got to go. I have company." He hung up the phone and hit the floor crying. That was Richard's first awareness that he had been given a gift of being able to talk to the other side. Richard will be my guest Sunday night, May 1st, at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern on Let's Find Out. You will be able to call in questions. You will be able to hear about a fantastic adventure of understanding that death is not the end of our lives. Looking forward to sharing with you Sunday, May 1st, with Richard Scholler. Give a listen and let's find out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Elizabeth Joyce and her guests come to you every other Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a podcast of the show will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link on the Let's Find Out page at bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
And I'm back with my wonderful guest, Gail Farmer, owner of Omega Publications and a very well-published author. So, Gail, we told our people listening that we would let them know how the publisher and the author get the book out into the public once it's a finished product.
Okay. No matter who it is, most of the work falls on the author.
Yeah.
That means that the author has to be willing to do book signings, to go to the libraries, and to say, "Hi, I'm me. Do you have a local author section or anything? Will you carry my book?" And it's like any other kind of sales, really. You go down to Barnes & Noble. They are part of the distribution system that we use, and they will order the books for you.
Explain the distribution system. I heard people would want to know, what is the distribution system that the publisher uses?
Okay, we use Lightning Source, and they are the one arm of Ingram Distribution, and they're the big guys.
They're the biggest ones in the country, as I understand.
Right. Okay. They distribute for everybody.
And they also publish, is that not true? They do the printing, is what I mean.
They do the printing, yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And so when you come through us, for instance, we go through Lightning Source, that immediately puts you into the distribution system. You become available on Amazon, and then we do a couple of things that personally allow your book to have some extra features, like the look inside and whatnot.
And also the ebook. Don't you do that?
Oh, yes. And we now have distribution through Smashwords, which is to ebooks what Ingram is to paper.
Oh, that's brand new then.
Yes, a very brand new. And I highly recommend it. It makes books. People are into these Kindles and all the little iPads and whatnot.
Oh, the iPads are fabulous.
Absolutely. I mean, they're everybody's little addiction, you know. I have a girlfriend who's got like 500 books on her Kindle. I'm like, wow, you know. But they are the way of the future.
Yeah, they are.
And you know,
easier on the eyes at the beach.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, Apple had a very hard time with their first iBook because it had a terrible glare. But their new one, the i2, is a little different. They took the glare out.
Yeah, that's very important when you try to read. You see people on airplanes, you know, constantly tilting, depending on where they're sitting in relation to the sun shining in the window and tilting and things. And that's just... that's something I think that's a work in progress. I think eventually they're going to get a screen that was impervious to.
They have that, and that's what they've done. But one of the most interesting things also is that you can take your fingers now and run it across the iBook, and it makes the letters bigger. So if you have a problem seeing, you can make it larger.
I know. It'd be enough to want to be a grandma all over again just to be able to do that and watch your baby's face.
Well, they just took away the times 12.
Oh, jeez. Well, see, my grandbabies are all married, so, you know. But, things have changed with the computer. There's no two ways about it. But the e-books really... they're good for a variety of reasons, and as I say, we suggest them. People want to hold their book in their hand, and a lot of times we have people who do hardcover and paperback. Just
most people do the paperback and the ebook now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
They do.
Yes.
Well,
indeed.
Gail, we've come to the end of the evening. I have loved having you on, and I want to know if people that are writing a book can call you or email you. So let's give out your email.
Sure, absolutely. I'm at Gail, G-A-Y-L-E, 92262@gmail.com, and that comes directly to me.
Now, that's the Palm Springs zip code, is it not?
Right, that's
just
right.
Just in case they forget it.
That's right. That's absolutely true. And I can always be reached at the Omega Publications site as well. And it has been a pleasure, Elizabeth. I appreciate this opportunity to chat with you. And
well, I'm sure that we'll have you back soon, and I hope that we get a lot of people asking. And as you know, if they come to BBS Radio, we will get all their queries to you.
Oh, that's
thank you
wonderful.
For coming, and don't forget to listen on May 1st when we have our wonderful medium, Richard Scholler, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody then. Good night.
You are preparing to raise your inner vibration to a higher level. Sit in a comfortable chair with both feet flat on the floor in a peaceful place. Close your eyes, relax your body, mind, and emotions. Inhale slowly and deeply. Retain the breath for as long as is comfortable. Exhale slowly and deeply. Do this over and over until it feels natural. In your mind's eye, recall and envision your earliest life memory. Follow this event, examine it, and let the remembering fill you. But simply witness it. Do not comment, compare, or judge. Then direct and follow and allow your mind to replay all the events you remember in your life. Watch the scenes as detached as you can, without any inner emotions. Witness as if you were watching a complete stranger's life story. As you see your life unfold, you may witness yourself being sentimental about people, places, things, or activities that you are recalling. Inwardly say and feel, I am now free of these events and am ready to accept the next moment. If you feel a strong relationship with a personal or universal divinity, you may find that it feels right to state, God, I am giving all this to you. It has always been and always will be yours. Thy will be done. If it's the right prayer, if it leaves you feeling like a part of the universe of Mosaic, filled with peace and ready for God to carry you away to eternal tranquility, then you are on the right track. This is an attitude more than just a recitation. Repeat your statements as often as necessary until you are so free of reactivity to the events that you are recalling and reliving. As you view the scenes of your life in your mind's eye, if you witness a nostalgic sentimentality towards any aspect of your life, you are not ready to join a higher power in the higher dimensions, and you will reincarnate again as a human. Your rebirth can occur now, or when your meditation ends, or sometime after your life ends. If you are empty of reaction to your individual life, you will be filled with a loving interaction with all life. What have you been carrying that you should have put down and left behind? Do you still harbor feelings of regret, anger, hate, disappointment, or any other negative feelings or fears that apply to events, people, or the things that are not here now? Why do you do this painful activity? Why do you cause separation from your blessed higher self or a higher vibration? Life can be equated to a boat ride, taking you from one shore to another. As the boat goes across the water, it leaves a wake in its path. This wake represents your past. And just like the wake of a boat leaves behind, doesn't propel the boat forward at all, your past doesn't drive you towards the other shore. What's done is done, if only you can be done with it. If you don't face the front of the boat and focus your attention in the present moment, you will not be able to avoid running into the icebergs and other potential hazards that could jeopardize your trip through life. Your karma is fulfilled and up to date at all times. Your clinging to the past and fantasizing about the future is what keeps you paying a karmic debt over and over again. Simply focus on this moment and witness the path your boat is traveling. This is action free of reaction and further karma. Relax. Melt into your comfortable meditative posture. Focus on your breath and feel and witness its entry, retention, and leaving. Visualize your great-grandparents in your mind's eye. See them be born, have events take place in their lives, and eventually give birth to your grandparents. Visualize your grandparents being born. See them have events take place in their lives, and eventually give birth to your parents. Visualize your parents being born, and see them going through the events in their lives that eventually included giving birth to you. As clearly as possible, without reacting physically, emotionally, or mentally, allow the movie of these events of your life unfold on the inner scene of your third eye. Witness the events as unattached as you can, and simply leave your attachments to all the events that have resulted in your being here, now, today, in this moment. Know that you are now on the boat ride of your life, and to look back is to reattach to your ancestors and your old karma and all the suffering that clings to it. So look ahead, free of karma, enjoy the ride, and reach out for a higher vibration. Reach out to your new future. Reach out to the fifth dimension. Take a deep breath, relax, and continue the meditation within yourself.